In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of my many faults is I'm prone to bad puns. Sometimes they're unintentional. When I was traveling back from New York this week, I was talking to a young couple who were on their way to Sonoma and wine country for a little bit of a getaway. And before I realized what I said, well, you're coming at a great time of year because the harvest is over, so you'll have missed the crush of people. And I said, wait, I didn't mean that. I really didn't mean that. But the guy said that was pretty good anyway. This morning I do want to tease you all with an intentional pun or an intentional play on words that I'll get to in a second. The parable of the sower concludes with the words we hear Jesus say more than once in Scripture, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, I'm saying this stuff, but some people just aren't listening. So if you're listening, good. And today, besides being the Sunday in which it is appointed for us to read the parable of the sowers, it is also the feast of St. Longinus. And there are many pronunciations of his name. I understand the Greek is Longinus. I've actually heard on the internet people say Longinus, but we'll say Longinus this morning. He is the centurion who stood at the foot of the cross. Now, his name does not appear anywhere in Scripture, but traditionally this is the name given to him as people have written about his life. And we will see as we hear about St. Longinus that he is someone who had ears to hear because he was very much changed by his experience at being at the foot of the cross of Jesus. Now, Longinus, as a centurion, someone in command of 100 troops, what would be today an army captain, Longinus was known for his spear. We could even say that his name might be taken from the Greek word for spear. But this is not a sermon about spears, but about ears, because with everything that went on around Longinus, he was changed. He figured it out. He listened. And so here comes the little play on words. The title of this sermon is not the spear of Longinus, but the ears of Longinus. Now, what does Scripture tell us about St. Longinus? We know some things directly. We can infer some other things. In the Gospel according to St. John, which we're studying every Tuesday night at Faith and Fellowship, we have these words. One of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. This was done to ensure that Jesus was dead. And traditionally, people have come to say that it was Longinus himself who pierced the side of Jesus. We read this in Matthew, when the centurion and those who were with him keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. And so we have a confession by this centurion, by St. Longinus, of just who Jesus was based on his experience. Later on in the same chapter of Matthew, next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, sir, remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Therefore, order the sepulchre to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it secure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. And again, traditionally, it is said that the person in charge of that responsibility was St. Longinus. And then in Matthew 28, now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the other Mary, went to see the sepulchre, and behold, there was a great earthquake, For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. So we have now an instance of St. Longinus actually being a witness to the resurrection itself. It's no wonder that after that he left the army, he asked to be baptized by the apostles, and he returned to his native Cappadocia, where he was an evangelist to his people. And one can only imagine how incredibly effective he must have been, having witnessed all that he did. Now, we need to really think maybe at a deeper level about this conversion of St. Longinus. In the Gospel according to St. Luke, we hear these words spoken by Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we really wonder where his eyes were fixed at that time. Were they fixed off somewhere into the distance? Who was he looking at? And my question this morning, isn't it possible that when he said that he might have just been looking specifically at the soldiers who were tasked with the very unsavory duty of crucifying people? Because here's what we have to ask about the people who were in the army at that time and assigned to that very rugged area in which Jesus lived and where he was crucified, these Roman soldiers. Who were they? How does a person end up in that kind of duty, knowing back then the Roman army was very large? Specifically, how does one get assigned to the group of people tasked with scourging Jesus? You can be many things in the army even back then. You can be a person who fires a bow and arrow, a person who carries a shield, a person who takes care of the horses. How do you end up to be in that role of torturer? Really, that's what we're talking about. What kind of a person ends up serving as a torturer and continuing to do it? And if we look at Scripture and look at the way the soldiers mocked Jesus, perhaps even enjoy your duty as a person assigned to do crucifixions. How does that happen? And we know how it happens. People who enjoy hurting others deliberately like that typically come from pretty tough backgrounds. Whether it's the lack of a love of a mother or something that happened in early life or goodness knows what, you have to be very hardened to become that cruel towards other human beings. You know, Jesus says, forgive them for they know not what they do. But does that mean that if Jesus had been really guilty of something, that it's a good thing to hang somebody on a piece of wood by nails until they suffocate? And so I really wonder if Jesus is looking at those soldiers and perhaps even at Longinus himself and saying, this poor guy, he got himself in this mess. His whole life has been really wasted until this moment. Now he finds himself having to crucify the Son of God and crucify these other two guys. Forgive him. He just got himself so jammed up with everything that happened before this. And you know, Jesus probably looks at him and says, oh my gosh, I feel so bad for this man, that this is his lot in life, is crucifying other people. That's the kind of compassion we know that Jesus had. Obviously, it's the kind of compassion that we all should have. And if we think about Longinus in that perspective, Longinus as the tough commander of men, the commander of people who apparently enjoy torturing others, mocking them, and even crucifying them, and yet consider that Longinus himself was able to repent, then we can say some very concrete, substantial things that are really good news for us. One is that everything can be forgiven. Everything can be forgiven if we repent. Forgiven by who? Forgiven by God. God wants to forgive us of everything, no matter what awful things we have done. Now, please don't sit in the pews and say, well, thank God I never had to crucify anyone. Because all of us have done things that we are horribly ashamed of, but no matter what it is, God can forgive. Forgive us. He's ready to forgive us as soon as we open our hearts. And speaking of our hearts, God already knows our inner hearts. He knows what's going on inside of us. Jesus knows what's going on inside of us. Again, that might have been part of that whole statement, Lord God, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. He could look in the heart of Longinus and the others and understand what emotionally crippled individuals these were. And he had great pity on them. And the third lesson is this. God can use the repentant sinner to do great things. Look at Longinus. A Roman captain, if you will, in the army of this very brutal force, who ends up to be an evangelist. And not just an evangelist, but an evangelist to the people from which he came. Now, there's a little bit of the rest of the story here. This is a write-up on St. Longinus taken from the OCA website. Here it is. This is just the end of the story, the rest of the story, if you will. The fiery words of Longinus, who had actually participated in the great events in Judea, swayed the hearts and minds of the Cappadocians. Christianity began quickly to spread throughout the city and the surrounding villages. When they learned of this, the Jewish elders persuaded Pilate to send a company of soldiers to Cappadocia to kill Longinus and his comrades. When the soldiers arrived at Longinus' village, the former centurion himself came out to meet the soldiers and took them to his home. After a meal, the soldiers revealed the purpose of their visit, not knowing that the master of the house was the very man whom they were seeking. Then Longinus and his friends identified themselves and told the startled soldiers to carry out their duty. The soldiers wanted to let the saints go and advised them to flee, but they refused to do this, showing their firm intention to suffer for Christ. The holy martyrs were beheaded and their bodies were buried at the place where the saints were martyred. Well, as we consider about this incredible individual that we just hear a few lines about in Scripture, as we consider his life, isn't our call to make sure that your heart and my hearts, that our hearts are never hardened, our hearts never feel hopeless? Because remember, Longinus probably felt a little bit of both as he stood there at the cross. Well, I've done this many times before, I'll do it again, and besides, I can't do any better in life. But Jesus is always reaching out to us to remind us that our sins, no matter how great they are, can be forgiven. He sees our hearts. He knows our pain. He reminds us that the greatest of sinners can repent. And in fact, the greater the repentance, the more God's grace can be made manifest. The parable of the sower reminds us, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. What will it be for us? Will we be changed by what's happening around us as we see God at work? Will we listen to Jesus as he speaks to our own hearts and looks within us and calls us to repent? Will he allow us? Will we allow him? Will we allow him to work great things in our life so that as we repent, other people can see God's grace shining out from us? Will you and I dare to have the same ears, the ears of St. Longinus?